This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
Opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team out, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
Patriots looks to bounce back from their opening week loss to the Dolphins as they take on the Jets. We'll hear from Bill Belichick and Kendrick Bourne, Patriots wide receiver, in just a moment. Red Sox playoff push continues. They host the hapless Orioles this weekend, and that's where I'm at Fenway Park. Alex Cora, as well as Kyle Schwarber and Nathan Eovaldi. In just a moment, we'll also hear from a guy from Maine who went to school in New Hampshire. He is Ryan McKenna, grew up in South Berwick, Maine, playing outfield for the Baltimore Orioles. He attended school in Dover. I am Chris Ryan. Thanks so much for being with us here for the Press Pass at Fenway Park. Start with the Patriots. Patriots looking to make everything right against a team that does that more often than not, the New York Jets. It's Patriots in Jersey to take on the Jets this weekend after a disappointing opening day loss to the Miami Dolphins. Patriots offense are going to get going. They only found the end zone once in their loss to the Fish. And the Patriots looking to also dominate the game physically. They're pushed around a little bit against the Miami Dolphins, and Patriots want to make their mark by being a physical team, particularly on defense this year. I talked with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick about that.
Morning, Bill. How are you?
Good, Chris. How's it going?
Good. Want to ask you a couple questions about physicality, as you referenced the Jets' physicality the other day. And a number of your defensive players have said that that's going to be one of the key attributes for your team this year. How big do you see the physical battle being in this game, in that realm?
I don't think it's part of the game every week. And certainly the Jets are a team that they're coached to play hard. They play with high effort. They're tough. They play with a good level of physicality. We'll have to match that and try to exceed it. But they really do a good job on the line of scrimmage of running the ball, defending the run, attacking the pocket. We saw Coach Shalaw do that at San Francisco, and that's the way he's training this team. Same thing with the offensive coaches, with Coach LaFleur and Coach Benton on the offensive line. They were in San Francisco. We, saw them, their style of play. I think everybody knows what that is. They run the balls, other than Ravens, probably as much as any team in the league, 21 personnel and all that. So I think that'll be a big part of the game.
And how much of a team's physicality is mental? And how do you go about trying to put the group in a place where they can get to that level of physicality that you want from a mental standpoint?
That's a tough question. There's a lot of components there. There's a mental part of it, but you have to have a physical toughness, technique, style of play. There's a difference between being tough and being physical. And they're both admirable and good qualities, but being physical really means to physically be able to dominate physically the guy you're playing against, whatever position that happens to be. Being tough is being tough. That doesn't necessarily correlate to you being able to overpower an opponent. So, but some of that has to do with technique. Some of it has to do with, style of play, speed, power, explosion, strength, and the ability to transfer all those into, force on contact. So depending on the position, the player, his playing style, and so forth, there's, I think, different ways you can see that, different components of it. But it's just something that certainly I think the Jets try to bring to the game, and it's important to us as well.
Mac Jones got solid marks, but the Patriots' offense sputtered and, again, only found the end zone once. They need to do a little bit better on third down. They need a little more continuity and consistency. Of course, there's a lot of different moving parts for this team that may have played a role in that. Their wide receiving core is new. Kendrick Bourne, one of those new players. He came over from the 49ers.
Hey, Kendrick, hope all is well with you. Want to get your sense on what you saw from the offense in practice this week. And it's obviously not just you. It's a whole bunch of guys trying to come together and learn and have that cohesiveness. Do you sense that that's taking steps forward? Do you feel like you guys are almost there?
Yeah, I definitely do, especially after a loss. You know, it's a lot you can learn from a loss if you take it the right way. And that's kind of what we've been harping on here, you know, not getting down on ourselves too much. You know, the game was a funny game, weird game. So it was a lot to learn from. And a game we beat ourselves. So, you know, we just don't want to come into this game doing the same type of mistakes, doing the kind of things we did, biting ourselves in the foot with certain plays, penalties, not scoring in the red zone, stuff like that. So just focusing on that is what we've been doing this week. And it's been really good. You can see the chemistry starting to mold. And we're just more comfortable with each other, trusting each other. Especially at the wideout, you know, position, we're trying to make Mac trust us a lot, and just all over the room. Like you said, it takes a whole team. It's not just one group, one person. It starts with everybody. So just everybody doing their one little job on that piece and making the play come together.
Do you feel like you've had to, you know, adapt at all who you are and how you play to fit in with this group, or have you been able to be yourself to the utmost of who you want to be?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, man, they definitely allowed me to be myself here. And it's funny, like, I battle with myself to stay locked in. Like, I can't, you know, goof around all day. You know, I know when to lock in, know when I can relax a little bit. So here they, you know, they understand how I work. And when I'm focused and I'm smiling, that's just how I focus. And like, the whole team understands that. They know I'm locked in. And I care about everything that we do here. So, yeah, they've let me be myself, and it's helped me grow each and every day here. Like, you know, I don't have to act like I'm all serious, because that's just not how I operate. I'm a loose guy, you know, kind of breaking the ice kind of guy. Like, we wanted to be comfortable having fun at the same time, and that comes with winning. So still got to get this first win, man. So still got to chill.
Red Sox push for the wild card is underway. Three teams, Blue Jays, Red Sox, and the New York Yankees, pretty much all neck and neck with just 13 games remaining in the season. Red Sox coming off a 3-3 road trip before their game last night against the Orioles, a road trip in which they needed to stay competitive with both the Blue Jays and the Yankees in the standings. They were able to do exactly that, setting up a stretch down the rest of the season where the Red Sox do not play a lot of quality teams. The only playoff team, caliber team, they face is the New York Yankees for three games next weekend here at Fenway Park. The Red Sox now have five games remaining against the Baltimore Orioles, three against the Washington Nationals, and the Mets 4-2 as well. So the Red Sox have destiny on their side, it would appear, at least a weak schedule. I talked with Alex Cora about that.
Alex, what is the significance of coming off this road trip still being in playoff positioning, given, you know, what the schedule is down the stretch, perhaps an opportunity for you guys?
I think playing at home, meaningful games, it means a lot. I know last year was a tough one for the organization and for the fans. And obviously coming to the season, like I said before, nobody expected this homestand to mean something in the playoffs, for the playoff hunt. So we're in this position. Like I said, you know, Friday should be crisp. So Friday night at Fenway, I've been saying it all along. So hopefully it's loud and it's intense. And we got plenty of games at home, and we're really good at home. So we took care of business here. Like, just enjoy the families. Hopefully nothing happens off the field with, you know, as far as like COVID and all that. We don't get bad news, and we're ready to go on Friday.
You're kind of waiting for an offensive explosion as well. Do you feel like that happened the last couple of days, and that the bats are where you want them to be for the stretch run?
Not where we want to, but we're going home, and we're really good at home. And, you know, obviously we faced two tough pitching staffs in this road trip. Chicago's really good. These guys have been amazing the whole season. We saw it early in the season, the way they pitch. That bullpen, they have different angles and different stuff, and they've been solid throughout the season, and we did an outstanding job with them. So hopefully, you know, this is the beginning of something great for us, and we can get hot swinging the bats, and we avoid the one-run games or the, you know, the close ones.
I also talked with Red Sox slugger Kyle Schwarber.
Do you feel like you guys control your own destiny in a lot of ways right now, and that you, if you want this, you can go out and get it?
I mean, I think the writing's on the wall there. I mean, you know, it's on us. It's not up to anyone else. You know, we can't rely on other teams. You know, I think that we have the base of this is that we have to be able to rely on ourselves and do what we need to do every day, and you know, not put the pressure on us. Go out there, have fun, and take care of business and enjoy it. And you know, whatever the results are at the end of the season, if we're in it, we're going to be happy. And you know, if we're not, you know, it is what it is. But we got to be able to do what we want to do on the field every day. And we're going to take the result of win or loss.
What has this team showed you about its ability to respond to adversity in the last month?
I mean, wow, talk about, you know, getting smacked in the face a little bit, you know, with just some of the uncontrollables in terms of COVID and things like that. You know, it definitely was not ideal, but the way that everyone stepped up at the time and you know, guys were filling in roles and filling spots and coming out and playing really good baseball. You know, I think that was kind of the biggest thing. And, you know, once we get back to this full strength and, you know, I think everyone's really excited. You know, we got one of the key guys out there today in Sale going out there and going to do his thing. So, you know, I know there's definitely excitement.
Final thing is, you know, this lineup has the potential to be tremendous, and it's had its kind of fits and starts, and obviously a lot of it has had to do with the COVID situation. Do you feel now that your whole, that this lineup is starting to come to where it needs to be, particularly coming off of the last couple of games in Seattle?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that if you look at the way that the guys have been playing, especially up at the plate, that there's been really solid at-bats, especially late in the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been that no quit, and you know, that's what we need, especially in this time of the year. Is, you know, win baseball games any way you can. And, you know, there's going to be times where, you know what, you hop out to a big lead and you go into there, or you're going to be coming from behind, or you're going to be going into the eighth, ninth inning tied, and you got to be able to scratch across for run. And, you know, the way that we've answered those situations have been really good. And, you know, we've been, you know, if we're down, we're coming up there fighting away to try to get the tying run to the plate. You know, going out there scratching off runs whenever we're tied. You know, putting on big insurance runs when we need them. So that's you know, it's definitely great to see, and we're going to keep, you know, plan to keep on doing that.
Yeah, on that for just one sec, you have done this at the highest level with the Cubs in the World Series and winning in back in 16. A lot of these guys have done it in 18. What about the, and some guys last year with Hunter and obviously Kike, what about guys in these particular moments allows them to have success or not? What does your approach, what does the collective approach have to be late in games to have success?
You know, I think just the biggest thing is everyone's going up there, and you know, there's the compete factor. You know, no one's going up there, you know, I'm not saying that everyone's going up there every time with the expectation, but you know, you're going up there wanting to have your best about every time you're up at the plate. And you know, whenever you're getting there late in the game and you know, things are a little bit tight, that, you know what, you're wanting to, you know, still have that good at bat. And you know, the playoffs, it's, you know, it's just like the kind of baseball we're playing right now. You know, we got to be able to, you know, keep finding a way to get guys on base and find a way to scratch them across the plate. And you know, if it's a walk, if it's a hit, if it's a home run, a wild pitch, whatever it is, you know, find a way to scratch runs across.
Nathan Eovaldi gets the ball tomorrow for the Red Sox.
Joined by Red Sox starter Nathan Eovaldi, gets the ball Sunday against the O's. And do you feel like you guys kind of control your own destiny at this point in time? Is there that kind of sense that you have control over this?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, well, I don't think we could have drawn up our schedule better to try to finish the season up like this. You know, we got to play Baltimore. We got to come out and play, you know, good baseball tonight. They've been playing really well. And then we got the Mets and then the big series against the Yankees. But, you know, we can't jump ahead too far. And, you know, we got to make sure we stay focused on a day in and day out basis and, you know, come in and make sure we do the little things right to be able to win these ball games.
It seems like you're in a good place, too, from a health standpoint. Guys starting to come back and coming off of a strong road trip. But obviously, as you mentioned, it comes down to executing and finding yourself. And do you feel like that has happened to any extent over this road trip, where obviously the COVID issues were there, but also the execution issues were kind of something that's gone back for a couple months now.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely going to be nice. I mean, we're close to having the entire team back from dealing with COVID. I think we were missing just two guys. You know, everybody else is either playing somewhere else or, you know, getting close to being back here and joining the team. So, you know, we're in a good spot moving forward.
And how do you feel you're throwing as of late, too, where it's just been kind of a consistent thing throughout the course of the year, it seems, but it also feels like your last three or four starts have perhaps been your best of the year and you've continued to build.
Yeah, I've been feeling really good mechanically lately. You know, I'm kind of at that point of the season where it's like if I'm having issues with my mechanics, I know what the issue is right away, and I'm able to adjust kind of when I'm out there on the fly to, you know, go out there and navigate a game. You know, my arm's been feeling good. You know, again, credit to our training staff. They've been doing an unbelievable job taking care of me, and then AC as well out there on the mound or in the dugout, you know, knowing when to take the ball from me because I have a hard time of, you know, coming out of a ball game. But, you know, I feel like we've done a great job all around of taking care of our starting pitchers.
And the final thing is, you guys have not really been able to enjoy this stretch run. Do you feel like now is a time where you can start to, you know, enjoy the game, be around each other a little bit, and take in a time which has been obviously, you know, something you guys have worked for the whole year?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely enjoy it. You know, we enjoy being at the ballpark together and hanging out with each other. And then, you know, again, like this is a very important last 2 weeks of the season. You know, there's a three-way tie basically for the wild card spot, and everybody's playing well. So we got to make sure, again, we come out here and, you know, we got to have fun while we're playing the game. We can't play it stressful because then if we do that, it's not going to be good outcomes. You know, we have fun. We come out here, have fun, do the small things right. We're going to come out and win the ball games.
Thanks.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Got to meet and talk with a guy who is a New England kid. He grew up in South Berwick, Maine, went to school at Portsmouth Christian as well as St. Thomas Aquinas in New Hampshire. He is Orioles outfielder Ryan McKenna, who got the start last night in left field going up against Chris Sale. Joined by Ryan McKenna, who grew up in South Berwick, Maine, but went to school in Portsmouth, St. Thomas Aquinas, and Portsmouth Christian prior to that. And what has this experience been like for a kid who grew up in Maine, went to school in New Hampshire, and you've had some of your biggest moments in your rookie year against the Red Sox?
Yeah, it's pretty breathtaking, honestly, looking back at it. You know, just seeing the great 2004 teams growing up, like, you know, Red Sox have had a lot of history here, and it's pretty just mind-blowing looking back at it and seeing how full circle it comes, being a super fan and then, you know, getting to play in Fenway Park. So it's pretty awesome, and, you know, look forward to continuing on. So
yeah, and you can obviously play a big role in this wild card run. You played the Yankees three games prior to this, play them again, play the Red Sox six times. So not obviously where you want to be in terms of the playoff race, but still getting to play a part of it. What have been the biggest takeaways from you in your first big league season?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, obviously competing every day, knowing we're, you know, in the AL East, which is one of the toughest divisions in all of baseball. So just, you know, not getting too down on yourself. We've had a lot of ups and downs and tough breaks this year as a franchise and a ball club. So just taking it as a grain of salt and not getting too down on yourself. This game's so hard, man. Like, it's crazy. It's tough to put in perspective for people that don't play because, you know, it's just every day, the length of the season, you know, and the mental toll it takes a lot of times because you do want to perform. So, yeah, just continuing on, and takeaways is just staying positive and, you know you're capable and keep competing every day.
All players, whether they're the best of all time, will talk about how difficult it is to stay positive. But particularly when you're a rookie and you're trying to prove that you're a big leaguer and the at-bats have been spotty. You played in over 70 games and only have, I think, 130 at-bats. So that's difficult, obviously, to prove what you can do when you're in and out of the lineup and trying not to put too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Is for me, just kind of understanding the role that I've been in right now. You know, I got my opportunity due to an injury, so you know, I definitely felt ready, and, you know, I've been anticipating that call for a long time. But, yeah, just navigating it through this year and like I said, not getting down on yourself and knowing that you can perform and experience will play a lot of in confidence, a lot of, you know, a big factor in that piece. So just continuing to progress and learn and, you know, take these experiences as a learning experience and, you know, just continuing on.
What have been your best moments so far this year? Because thinking back at it, a lot of them have come against the Red Sox. You had a great catch a couple weeks ago on a Sunday game here. Yeah, Endeavor's ball. And you also had the hit against Sale in his first game back. Your first hit, I think, came against Nick Pivetta as well, Camden Yards. So a lot of big moments against the Red Sox. Are those your big moments this year? Have been some other ones that stood out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. First hit is something that I'll never forget. It was kind of a ball game that got away from us at the time, but getting that opportunity, like I said, and trying to take advantage of that, that's something I'll never forget. And first homer is probably up there as well. That's pretty special. And playing in Fenway Park is probably close to number one, I'd say, just from being New England guy from day one, and really just enjoying and appreciating the experience and history here. It's I talk a lot about it to other guys that aren't from here, and they just say they feel the history in the ballpark, and it's true. It's just, there's nothing like it. So it's up there for sure.
Yeah, final thing is on that. I mean, what is that like when you're standing out in left field, and that's where, Ted Williams, Manny, when you're growing up, Carly Ostrzemski, that's where they were, the visiting clubhouse. Like, how do you describe what the emotion is like of now being a part of that fraternity that's played here?
Yeah, it's so cool, man. It's such a cool feeling. I try to stay within myself and understand I got a job to do, but at the same time, it's like, holy cow, baseball legends have played here, and there's so many success stories, Carlton Fisk with the home run, and like you mentioned, a lot of those guys, Manny Ramirez and Yastrzemski, and it's just crazy. People that love baseball, like a lot of people, around here, Boston's such a passionate baseball town anyway. So it's really incredible, and try to keep it in perspective, but also, try to have fun and enjoy it.
Ryan, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Let's look back a little bit now on the Patriots and the Dolphins. Patriots lose that game 17-16. I talked with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good.
Did you see this as being mostly, execution? I mean, you talked about the effort being where you kind of wanted it to be. Was this just execution across the board, or did you see other issues specifically?
Yeah, I don't think I said the effort's where I want it to be. I said I thought we played hard and gave good effort, but there's certainly a lot of room for improvement in every area by all of us. So that's what we're going to focus on.
And just wanted to ask about the tight end play as well. I mean, I know you mentioned everyone, meaning everyone, but just your initial impressions of seeing Janu and also Hunter on the field together, and the potential that those two have.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're both good players, but I think, again, we all need to do a better job. There's not anybody that falls outside of that category, so that's what we'll work on.
Bill Belichick right there. We heard earlier from Kendrick Bourne about how losing perhaps helps to teach. The lessons of losing may help the Patriots moving forward. Janu Smith got some of those lessons.
Hey, Janu, I hope all is well with you. Just your biggest takeaways from your first game in a Patriots uniform, what it felt like to be out there in front of a full stadium, obviously some of the positive side of things, and also some of the things you're thinking about from a personal standpoint, as you look at the improvement.
Well, man, this atmosphere is everything that it's been hyped up to be. It's a wonderful stadium. These fans out here, man, they what they call them, the mass holes. They was definitely lighting the place up, yesterday, man. You just got a lot of energy, having missing fans last season. It's good to have them back. And, man, I couldn't be more excited to be going out there and playing for such a historical franchise, such a historical fan base. Looking forward to eat every single one of them opportunities for sure. As far as just myself, man, like I said, I'm my biggest critic. I got, to continue to get better, and we didn't win, so I got to look myself in the mirror and ask myself, what can I do to help my team get better? And that's what I'm going to do.
In sports, obviously, the best teams face adversity and get better from it. What did you learn about this franchise after, a loss, and how you respond?
No, absolutely, man. You kind of hit it on the money right there. The good teams, they look at the mistakes that they made, and correct those mistakes and move forward. It's the teams that learn from those mistakes that have longevity and success and, all those good things down the road. So And everybody in that room right now, you know, wish that they could have some plays back. But you just got to learn from the plays. There's nothing we can do about it. Sunday's gone. That Sunday is gone. It's never coming back. But we got some Sundays in front of us, you know, and some Mondays and some Thursdays and, you know, whatever. But, you know, we just got to focus on what's coming, what's ahead of us.
This is the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan. This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Two wins for the Red Sox over the Orioles now give them four straight as they defeated the Seattle Mariners the last two games in Seattle. Red Sox now one game ahead of Toronto for the top wild card spot, which would mean that wild card game played at Fenway Park. And they're a game and a half ahead of the Yankees, who are on the outside looking in at this point in time. So now the Red Sox are close to whole from a COVID and health standpoint. The question begs what they're going to do with their bullpen. We saw Tanner Houck used yesterday in 2 2/3 innings of work, and I think that that's going to be one of the things the Red Sox are going to do. They're going to use Houck and potentially Whitlock to bridge to the back end of the bullpen. But where is everybody going to fit in, and how is that bullpen going to be used? That's the question or questions that I had for Alex Cora.
Alex, with your full complement of arms back and Tanner now joining the bullpen, do you have an idea as to how you want to line up the bullpen at this point?
As far as like usage?
Usage, you're going to close your mind.
Like yesterday, you know, Garrett was going too. You know, we felt like that was a good spot for him. You know, we were getting the top of the lineup and then the heart of the lineup, right? For 2 innings. So we were going to use him in that situation, and we're going to mix and match. You know, Robles has been great in certain situations. Adam has turned the corner again, you know, and I do believe Darwinson has given us something that we haven't had in a while, you know, a lefty with swing and miss stuff that can help JT. And then AD finally can fall into his place, you know, while we got him here, you know, to get lefties out probably early in the game. So we'll keep mixing and matching. You know, we still have to be, you know, we have to be smart with Tanner as far as like keeping him, you know, going multiple innings, because you never know what can happen in an hour or 2 hours, you know, that's where we at. So, and he maybe have to make a start this week. You never know. So, but as far as like structure, I think they understand where we at right now, that we can be, you know, very creative, very aggressive. And that's the way we're going to do it.
Do you have any inclinations as to who you want to get the ninth at this point, if all things are equal? Is it Otto, Whitlock, or is it matchup based?
I think it's more about the matchups and where we at. We feel like JT can do the job if it's his right pocket, and Adam, you know, for everything that he's been through with the lefties, you know, he's done a better job against them the last month. So it's just a matter of recognize the pocket and see where we at in the game, obviously, and go from there.
On the Orioles side of things, they lost their 100th game of the season, fourth year in a row for them that they've lost 100 games. That was on Friday, and after yesterday, 101 losses for the Orioles this year. They do have what is ranked as the best farm system in baseball and some budding superstars on this team as well. Cedric Mullins might be there already, and Ryan Mountcastle is knocking on the door. He has 30 home runs this year after he went deep off Nick Pivetta yesterday.
Joe Ryan Mountcastle here at Fenway Park, and it's been a really solid rookie season for you. What has stood out to you about the way that you've been able to perform, and has it even surpassed your expectations to some extent?
I didn't really have any like goals or expectations going into the year, just trying to, you know, stay healthy and go out there and play every day and play hard, and that's what I've done, and so far it's, you know, going pretty good.
29 home runs, the first 162 games are amongst the best in Orioles franchise history. And how has how has that materialized for you throughout the course of this year? What have been some of the keys for you in being able to produce consistently?
Just, you know, working hard every day, getting my cage routine in, my routine out here on the field, taking ground balls and all that, and just staying, you know, resilient with all that and just going out there and playing hard and playing my game.
One of the things I've noticed about this team is that you guys continue to grind each day. Look at the Yankees series coming in here as an example. You win in 10 innings. And despite the fact you guys haven't had a lot of success, you continue to play hard. What does that mean, do you think, for the future, particularly for a lineup that seems to have a strong future ahead of it?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of talented players coming up, and it's definitely going to be really fun to play here in the next couple of years, and I'm excited to see where this team's at.
Does the losing become difficult, though, when you're doing well? It's obviously, Cedric Mullins is having a great year, and you have to feel good about the way you're performing individually, but collectively, you know, the losses mount up on a night-in, night-out basis.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fun to lose, and obviously you want to go out there and win, but at the same time, you got to do whatever you can to help the team win, and that's, you know, staying, you know, locked in from pitch one every game and trying to, you know, produce for the team.
What have been some of the biggest lessons for you throughout the course of this year and last year as well? The things that, you know, you picked up upon where you're like, okay, this is something that I can put into what I do in order to have success.
Yeah, just getting a steady routine every day. I didn't really have that in the minors. I just went out there and played every day. And being up here, I battled through some adversity early on. And, yeah, just keeping that same routine, staying confident in, you know, what you're doing.
A lot of guys, when they hit a lot of home runs, will say, I'm not a home run hitter. Are you one of those guys where you feel like, okay, I may have home runs, but it's because I've driven the baseball. I've locked in a couple mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just I know I got some power, and if I just put a good swing on the ball, it'll go out. So not going up there trying to hit home runs, but I know if I put a good swing on it, it'll most likely go out.
Final thing is on, you know, this race for the wild card. We have the Red Sox, Yankees, and also the Blue Jays all in close. You've seen all of these teams a lot over the last couple of weeks. What do you like about each of those teams? Is there a particular team that jumps out at you that you think you know, is playing particularly well at this point?
Yeah, I mean, all these teams are really good, and I know the Rays definitely had their way with us this year, and they're a really good team. They, you know, get big hits and key spots, it almost seems like every game. And Red Sox lineup pitching is all good. Yankees, same thing, just really big, you know, power hitters with some really good starting pitching and bullpen. And Blue Jays might have the best lineup in all of baseball, and you know, they got some really good pitching too. So I'm excited to see, you know, what happens there in the playoff push.
And finally, is how far off do you feel like you guys are from being in that mix? Because obviously this division is really tough. You know, the Yankees, Red Sox are going to spend a lot of money each year. Blue Jays seem like they're going to be around for a while. Rays are always there. Do you feel that you guys are close to being there, and it's just some pitching away? What do you think?
Yeah, I think we're close. We got some really, like I said, some good young talent coming up, and really good pitching, some good hitters coming up too, and I think we're going to be really competitive coming up these next couple of years.
Sweet. Thanks, Ryan.
This is the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan. This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. As the Red Sox hit a dozen games left in the year, the COVID stuff appears to be in the rearview mirror, but who knows if that's going to pop up again. Sox in a position now where they can finally enjoy what they've worked the whole year and throughout the spring and offseason for, and that's to play meaningful games down the stretch of the season. Red Sox have their destiny in their hands. If they have success down the stretch, they will be going to the playoffs and hosting a game at Fenway Park. They're a game and a half ahead of the Yankees to the good. Yankees are on the outside looking in. They're a game ahead of the Toronto Blue Jays. They have by far the easiest schedule of the three, and three games against the Yankees up next weekend to put some more distance between them and the Yanks, or allow the Yankees back into the situations. This is what they've worked for. Alex Cora over the last month has found himself trying to figure out exactly how to put a lineup together each day to try to bridge together a bullpen. Now all the players are back after the massive COVID outbreak, which had at its max 14 players sidelined because of COVID-19. I talked with Alex Cora about that.
Alex, this is the part of the season that you and the players obviously look to, you know, really be engaged in. Has it been difficult to kind of get a level of enjoyment or 100%. Be as engaged as you want?
No, we are engaged. I mean, at 7 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, we're locked in. Before that, there's somebody, I mean, I would love to talk to you guys about the playoffs and you know, the way we're playing and what we have to do to get there and whatever is going in the league. But, you know, every day is about who's here, who's not, what we have to do, X amount of days, when he can pitch. And that's uncomfortable. But like I said before, this is where we at. This is who we are. And we have to deal with the situation the best we can. And I think we've done an amazing job as a group to hang in there. And when the umpires call play ball, we're ready to go. And you've seen it. You know, you've seen it throughout the last 4 days. It's been really, really good baseball, grinding, and you know, we enjoy it. We're enjoying it. But I would love to have everybody in the dugout. I would love to have everybody in the clubhouse. But right now, that's not our reality. We have to deal with what we have to deal the way we're doing it.
Alex, do you look at everybody else's schedule and kind of chart out what you have to do?
Think,
and
Chris? Stay away from that. What do you think, Chris?
Knowing you, you do, but you're not going to say
I almost sent a text to Cashy today. Let's go. Come on, do your thing, kid. You know, please go ahead. Yeah. I know what's going on. I know who plays who. I know who we play. I think at the end of the day, you take care of business and then you look around. Now we're in the West Coast, so you know everything that is going on and you still have to take care of business. So that's the fun part of it. You know, just to see where, you know, obviously who is where and who's playing who. We know for sure that there's a lot of teams that are around us. They're going to be banging heads in the upcoming weeks. We still have some big series, obviously, with some of them starting here. So, in that part, that's the fun part, you know, and we're going to enjoy the most we can.
Also talked with Red Sox reliever Adam Ottavino about how these difficult times may make the Red Sox better in the end.
Adam, from a positive perspective, what do you feel that the value of this experience for, you know, the team collectively of having to deal with, you know, the COVID issues of guys being placed in different type of roles? What do you feel is the upshot on how that may benefit this team? Where you guys are looking to go?
Yeah, I mean, first half, we didn't have much adversity. I think it's important for a team to face adversity if they want to get, you know, all the way to the end, whether it's this year or in the future. So second half, we faced a lot of it, you know, COVID, poor performance, just a lot of things. But we're kind of finding out how to, you know, keep playing through that. And I think, you know, you can expect more adversity from here on out. So at least we've been conditioned a little bit.
Nick Pivetta discussed a little bit what it was like for him being on the COVID IL and trying to prepare for his start last weekend in Chicago, where he was basically getting ready by throwing a ball against a fence, which is, you know, considering today's major league standards, so outside of the optimal.
Nick, just how strange is this? You know, you're throwing against a fence a couple of days ago, trying to prepare for one of the biggest starts of your career with the team in a, you know, playoff push. How kind of strange is this whole dynamic that's in existence with this team?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, you just got to stay mentally locked in the whole entire time. When I'm watching the games, I'm pretending that I'm there with everybody. And when I'm throwing against a fence, I'm throwing against a fence like I'm playing catch or throwing in a game. I think it's just all mental and keeping yourself checked in, locked in for that. And I've pitched in a lot of big league games so far. So, you know, I just treated it just like another start, didn't try to make it too big, and just went out there and competed and had fun because it was hard to sit there and watch these guys grind. And I really, really missed it. So it was nice to be back out there. I had a lot of fun today, and it was all positives.
Nick, can you talk about pitch mix a little bit today, where it seemed like, you know, you were utilizing changeup a little bit more and working off the fastball the other three pitches?
Yeah, I had good feel for my changeup today. I was working on it quite a bit while I was throwing out there in the field. So I kind of developed some good mechanic changes as I did that, and then just worked on that pitch, and I was able to utilize it a lot today.
It's been the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan.